Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show, everyone. Byron here with Jillian. Jillian, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're an author of an exciting new book, Getting There, a Book of Mentors. Happy to have you on board. I have several hundred questions for you about this wonderful research project you must have undergone. For starters, how did you manage getting a hold of these incredible celebrities that you have interviewed here regarding their mentoring practice?
Well, that was the hard part. That is why the book took me 5 long years to put together.
Wow.
Because I was mainly chasing luminaries around for all that time.
Exactly.
And basically, I didn't have any special connections. I just had a lot of, you know, patience, and I was very politely persistent. And I just tried every avenue I could try. When I first started out, a friend said to me, "Don't take a no from somebody who can't give you a yes." And what that means is if somebody's publicist tells you no or someone's assistant tells you no, try another venue, because the real decision maker might not have even heard your request.
Fascinating. The names, of course, we'll get to throughout the presentation. They'll be listed on this description. But, you know, I wanted to ask you, who was the first person in, always the hardest to accommodate, that you can perhaps leverage?
Yeah, the first person in was actually Craig Newmark, who's the founder of Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny about that is that he was probably the most difficult person to interview, in that he's very tight-lipped. He likes to just give out as little information as possible. So you have to ask a lot of questions as if you're cross-examining a hostile witness.
Mm. Now, did you, when you originally started doing these interviews, did you have the concept of what these interviews and what this book was going to be all about? Or was it a little bit looser that you wanted to sort of see what material you would get out of those that you were interviewing?
You know what I wanted? I had the vision of what the book would be, and it is what I wanted it to be. The one thing that changed was that I originally thought I would have to seek out subjects who had a good story, and then I realized I just have to seek out subjects because basically everybody has a good story. You just have to get them to tell it. No one's had it so easy. No one has had a fairy tale life, and everyone has, you know, an inspiring story in them and some wisdom.
Did you find anyone was holding back in the sense that they didn't want to reveal a book, perhaps they were going to write about their own story, or were they all very open and honest and candid in telling you these sort of secrets and lessons they learned along the way, helping them overcome their challenges and obstacles?
Well, I think probably that the people who really wanted to hold back just said no. So you know, there probably were people who were planning their own book and just didn't want to dish it all out in mine. But the people who agreed were generally pretty up for the task and pretty, you know, pretty ready to be open. And really, people were so unguarded, you know, in the stories they told me, and it's really impressive, and it was always surprising to me that they'd be fine with, you know, with this being in a book. But I guess once you're at the top of your field and you've arrived, you've made it, it's a little easier to expose all your past failures and faults.
And did you get a lot of that? Were people talking about their past failures in life and what they learned from that? Was that a
theme? Completely. Every single person. I mean, I had Warren Buffett talking about how he was, you know, so afraid of public speaking up until his 20s that he would literally throw up. I have Kathy Ireland talking about her, you know, years of trying to start her own brand. She was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, and now she runs a $2 billion a year company. But she failed for years before she was able to launch her own brand. And she finally did it with a line of socks, actually. Anderson Cooper talks about...
We're going way too fast here, because I have questions I prepared on each of these. So we've slowed down.
My answer is yes.
No, it's all good fun, but I want to dive into some of these incredible mentors and leaders and talk with you really about each of them individually. Let's take Warren Buffett. What was the occasion that you spoke with Warren? You know, I'm just curious. Beginning
of
the
day. How did I get in that door?
Well, not how you got in, but were you given like a 15-minute slot, you know, or was there two calls that you had to take, or... was it a screening filtering? All right, Warren, we'll spend 5 minutes with you and see if he likes you. And then, you know, tell us about Warren in that interview.
Okay, well, first of all, Warren, I had tried, because who wouldn't want Warren to be in this kind of a book? So I tried the traditional route, which was to send material to his office. I sent a copy of my first book and a request of what this book would be about. And, of course, it got rejected. So... what do you do? Well, I found out that he would be at a certain event, a charity event, that I could go to. So I went, and my goal there was to ask him in person. And there wasn't really very much time to do that, but I channeled Sarah Blakely, who is another one of my subjects. She's the founder of the shapewear company Spanx. And she had told me these gutsy tales of how she got her company off the ground. So just as Warren was about to leave the event, I said to myself, I have to do it now or never. And Sarah Blakely would never let this opportunity pass. So I just beelined, you know, over for him, and I asked him to be in the book. And I got a 10-minute time slot. I flew all the way to Omaha for that from New York, where I live. And in that 10 minutes, I had to photograph him and interview him because I took portraits of everybody who's in the book as well as interviewed them. And that is a really tough feat, you know, to do that all and get this story in 10 minutes. So I basically walked up to him with the camera, you know, at my eye, ready to take the picture. And I said, I know we're pressed for time, so I just want to get this going. And he said, oh, don't worry, I have loads of time. So we ended up spending an hour together. So I guess I got a lot more, and I love his essay, and he covers so much ground. He has so much wisdom in him.
Talk about that for 1 minute with us. Had you prepared questions in advance of this meeting with Warren? And by the way, especially knowing you'd have 10 minutes with Warren, it's like, okay, here's the four questions that I'm going to ask Warren. Or did you just sort of wing it a little bit and stay looser for the hour you were with him?
I research every single person as much as I can. Uh-huh. And there's certain things that I want to ask everyone about. From my research, but I also make a real point of asking open-ended questions, because if all you did was ask about stuff you already know, you're not going to learn anything new. So I definitely gave everybody a chance to, you know, I asked open-ended questions where they could give me some new information.
What was your single most interesting factoid or wisdom that you pulled from Warren?
Well, he has so much. I'm telling you, I could speak for an hour or more on him and on all the things. But this is something that I love, because it's applicable to business situations and to everyday life. He said that you can always tell someone to go to hell tomorrow. And basically, it's a lesson on controlling your temper, on the importance of controlling your temper. And he says, you know, don't spout off in a moment of anger. Sit on whatever it is that's bothering you for a day. And if you still feel the same way tomorrow, tell them to go to hell then. And I think that's something that, you know, people can really benefit from, whether it's in a work situation, whether it's yelling at their kids about something, just, you know, being a little more measured in general.
Great stuff. Let's go to Kathy Ireland in Ireland. Wow, for starters, her success is just monumental. What did you learn from her? And did she talk much about fashion and her famous career there? Or was she more in tune with her business and that sort of part of her life?
We talked more about her, you know, her more recent part of her life. And she basically did learn some lessons from modeling, because when you model, you basically have to go, you know, door to door selling yourself, and that's what she had to do. And she did get rejected a lot in the beginning, and she learned, you know, that failure is just part of the process. So that really helped her later on when she was launching her business, because she failed a lot. She wanted to start her own brand. She wanted something, you know, to do something that wasn't dependent on her looks. And one thing that I love that she taught me, and her words stick in my mind, and they help me all the time. She says that if you never fail, it means you're not trying hard enough. And even recently, since my book came out, I had the opportunity to write an article for Forbes about my book. I had to fit my book in somewhere. Anyway, I sent one article in. The guy didn't like it. I sent another article in. This is the editor at Forbes. He didn't like my second one. And so I wrote him back and I said, okay, Kathy Ireland says you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough, can I try again? He didn't even respond, but I did try again, and that third article got in. So,
was that quote in the article you said?
It wasn't in the article.
The third article?
Actually, it might be in the article. It might be in the article, but it was a quote in my mind because I just thought, all right, I mean, most people might write, you know, one article, it gets rejected, write a second article, it gets rejected. They might think, you know, forget this. But with Kathy's words in my mind, I tried again, and my third article got in. And now all people see is that I have an article in there. No one focuses or knows about the fact that that it was my third try.
Very interesting. Let's take just a brief station break. Back in just a minute, everybody.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I signed us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
Reinventing keyword research, simplifying campaign optimization, redefining competitive analysis. SpyFu brings you an entirely new way to find the most profitable keywords for your SEO and PPC campaigns. New tools, new data, and a brand new look. We've streamlined SpyFu so that you can optimize your search engine marketing more efficiently, more accurately, and more intuitively. Visit SpyFu.com, that's SpyFu.com, and start downloading your competitors' keywords now. Try it free.
Whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. Namejet.com puts you in the pilot seat by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, Namejet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to Namejet.com at mock speed to get great domains today. Namejet.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Introducing Rumble, the smart mobile management system, the first end-to-end mobile platform where you can make real-time app modifications from a point-and-click dashboard. Want to change the design of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Want to change the ad map of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Want to change the content mix of your app? Point click, and it's live in real time. Power your mobile business with Rumble.
Are you ready to rumble?
Visit www.rumble.me.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show, everyone. So great to have you on today, Jillian. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's go to Rachel Zoe. I mean, wow, that is a big deal. I'm a big fan of hers. As is my wife, who watches her show. What was the occasion over there with her? How did that all come about?
Well, I contacted her. Through her publicist or something, and I think she's a big Warren Buffett fan, actually. That might have got her in there. And she's, you know, she's a really strong person and an incredible businesswoman, and you know, she's doing something that she's super passionate about. And when you do something you're passionate about, you have the energy to try really hard, you know. And so she works really hard, but she loves what she does, and she's not afraid to take risks. You know, in her case, a lot of the risks might be fashion risks with her clients and with her designs. But she knows that, you know, you win some, you lose some, and if you don't take risks, you're not going to get anywhere big.
Now, she has an interesting relationship with her husband, who is the president of the company. Did she talk about that at all? The Rachel Zoe Project, of course. Did she talk about that at all?
Yes, she loves that she has somebody who she can fully trust, you know, who's sort of like looking over everything for her.
Was he around when you did the interview?
He was not. He wasn't. I went to her house. I brought my daughter with me, she's now 12, but she was a little younger then. I brought her actually to meet four of the different subjects. Whenever I could bring her, I would. it was a good influence, you know, good for her.
Oh, my gosh. Is your daughter nervous?
You know what? She sort of was too young to be nervous. She braided Marina Abramovic's hair. She hung out with Jillian Michaels. And she met, of course, Jeff Kinney, who's the Diary of the Wimpy Kid author. Trying to think of who else, which other one? Oh, it'll come to me.
I saw Sarah Blakely speak. Tell me about Sarah Blakely. Well, I mean, we're going so fast here, but Sarah Blakely really stumbled into something really remarkable in a simple concept, right? Her net worth is now $1.1 billion. What was she like?
Well, she's incredible. So her story is that her whole entire life was geared towards being a lawyer. Her dad was a lawyer. That's what she wanted to be. She was taking, you know, debate in high school so her resume looked good. She was preparing for that. And then when it finally came time for her to take the LSAT, she bombed it. So she picked herself up, she took a course, she studied hard, and then she did 1 point worse. So Sarah Blakely went off to the Epcot Center and got a job loading people on rides in a polyester pantsuit. And then after that, she spent 8 years working for a company that sold fax machines door to door. And it was during that time that she had her big idea. And she didn't like the way her butt looked in a pair of white pants. And she was wishing that they made control top pantyhose, but without the feet, so she could wear the white pants with some sandals. And that's how the idea for Spanx was born. And she really had to be, you know, very persistent to get that off the ground. And one thing she talks about in her essay is that she kept her idea a secret for the first year, even from her friends and family. And when she finally told them that her big idea she'd been working on was footless pantyhose, they laughed hysterically. They thought she was joking. And then when they realized she was serious, she heard things like, well, honey, you know, if it was a good idea, wouldn't the big guys have done it? And, you know, that kind of thing. And she says she was really happy that she didn't tell anybody early on, because by the time she told them, she was too invested in it to give up. And she says if she had told them early on, she would probably still be selling fax machines door to door.
Isn't that something?
And none of us would be looking as good as we do. None of us.
Did she file a patent early on within that 1 year of her thinking it through?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. She did everything. She worked on the packaging, the name, the patent, everything.
Wow. And where did the name Spanx come from? It's an unusual name.
You know, she looked it up and there was something, she wanted an X at the end, and she wanted it to be funny. She also, she didn't have any money for advertising, and she knew that if she could make it sort of, if she could infuse humor into her product, it would get her free advertising, because she basically turned a very boring category, pantyhose, into something that people like to talk about and make fun of. And she's been referenced on shows from, you know, Sex and the City and Oprah and Glee. And it's a funny thing. People like to talk about their Spanx, or I'm not wearing my Spanx. I am. I'm de-spanxing, all that kind of stuff. Because it's a fun name. So she did a great thing by thinking along those lines.
She's a wonderful presenter as well. Jillian Michaels. How did Jillian Michaels look and act? I'm just wondering. She was born in 1974, so she's, what, around 41 years old? So,
yeah.
Tell us about Jillian Michaels.
Well, I think that she's just how I imagined her to be, but the way I imagine her to be might not be the way other people imagine her to be, because of her reputation for being such a toughie on the show. You know, I guess it depends how they edit it. But she's just, like, you know, really chill and down to earth and easy to hang out with. But she's very relaxed. She seems like she's best friends with everyone who works with her, for her. And I went to her house in Malibu and photographed her there, and my daughter came. and you know, she has a great story. I don't want to talk too much without you asking me questions. I don't want to go on and on. So,
This is one of the few interviews where I could just listen to you talk for 5 or 10 minutes, although I discourage that typically. Well, what was her house like in L.A., for starters, in Malibu?
It was in Malibu. It was nice. It was just, you know, it's right on the beach. It looked like out of a movie. It had huge windows and
modern,
you know, a lot of great light. In all the photographs in getting there, I used natural light except for one person, which was Hans Zimmer, because he basically works in a man cave. He's the composer. He had the coolest workspace. It was basically, if you pictured, like, you know, red velvet and candles and skulls and stuff,
yeah.
that was That was the mood of it. I don't know if there are even candles and skulls, but that was the mood of Composer's Cave.
What wisdom?
But back to Jillian Michaels.
Yeah, what wisdom did Jillian offer you?
All right. Well, Jillian's story is that she, as a young kid, she was way overweight, and she was tormented and bullied for it. Her mom signed her up for a martial arts class, and eventually she sort of turned towards that, and she admired the people at the studio, and that was, you know, they became her role models, and she got in great shape. She was never much of a student. She ended up dropping out of college, and she was a trainer and a bartender, and she loved life. But then one day she started dating someone who was an Ivy League graduate who hung out with a little more, you know, highfalutin group of people. And all of a sudden, Jillian started feeling like what she did wasn't good enough and that she needed a, quote, real job. So she went on a whole different path and she became a talent agent. And she never really liked it. It wasn't the right fit for her, and to prove it, she got fired, actually. And when she got fired, she got really depressed, and then she went back to training. And she realized that she loved it. She always knew she loved it, but she realized, you know, this is what I'm meant to do. Like, she was doing something else because she felt like she should, or it was the right thing to do, not because she was passionate about it or not because she wanted to. And so, you know, she now kicks ass in her field, and she runs an entire health and wellness empire. She has all these different investments in that field. And I think, like, what she really taught me is that you can make a lot out of almost any interest. And, you know, she's an entrepreneur. Like, you could say she's a trainer, but she is an entrepreneur. She is a businesswoman. And I think no matter what field you go into, if you're passionate about it, you can really build it up into whatever you want.
Wow, good stuff there. How about Hans Zimmer, kind of off the beaten track, not a household name, but a wonderful German composer. Do you have to fly to Germany to meet him?
No, he lives in Los Angeles.
Oh, wonderful.
So he is really famous for being a film score composer, and he did the music for The Lion King, uh-huh, and a bunch of different movies that you've
Gladiator,
heard of.
Yep.
Yes.
The Dark Knight, yep.
The Batman, yeah. So Pirates of the Caribbean, I think.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Anyway, so he I hope. He's incredible. He's really funny. He was kicked out of 9 schools growing up because he says he even remembers a teacher throwing a chair at him in music class. He says he doesn't remember what it was for, but he remembers the chair hurling through the air. I guess that's one of those things, like, where time can stand still, where you'll never forget a chair coming at you. But anyway, one thing that's interesting is that he's an example of how, with a lot of people, your worst, you know, characteristics can end up being your best. So he was kicked out of so many schools, not because he was like a ne'er-do-well, but he just was a daydreamer. He was, you know, not really present. And that is how he comes up with his music. He's just, you know, he goes off into another world, and next thing you know, he says don't invite him to a dinner party because he'll be there in 20 minutes, and then 4 hours will pass, and he's still in his studio, not even remembering that he was supposed to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and something that this taught me is that there's room for success for all different personality types. You know, like, that he could not do what Kathy Ireland does, and she couldn't do what he does.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just have to sort of know yourself. You have to know your strengths and weaknesses and do something that you're passionate about and something that's within your circle of competence, as Warren Buffett says. And that's what everyone in the book does.
The book is Getting There, A Book of Mentors. And the guest is Jillian. And once again, it was just fantastic having you on the show. Terrific.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here, and hope your life's a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser, and we'll see you next week.
Catch part two of this program next week on WebmasterRadio.fm.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.